Geek Radio Daily for Weekend Eve. Oh yeah. And I don't know where you were at exactly, but for us, for me at least, it's going to be a decent weekend with some good weather and not stupidly hot. That's fantastic. And we'll party at my place. We'll talk about that later. Hi. Welcome to the 9th of August. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us, you love us, you go to all kinds of places with us, you party with us, sometimes you go to breakfast with us, and sometimes it's even brunch. Whatever the first meal of the day is, it's breakfast, even if we wake up at noon. Just ask this man. He knows all about that. That there's podcasting for Siegfried.
I'm going to Denny's for some pancakes.
And me, I'm the associate that some people call the hanger-on to. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Did somebody say pancakes?
What happened this fine day, sir?
It's going to be 90 and stormy. Yay! In 1831, the first train to run on a steam engine makes its inaugural trip, traveling from Albany to Schenectady, New York. And I love pancakes.
1892, Thomas Edison receives a patent for a two-way telegraph. I prefer silver dollar pancakes to pancakes.
Oh, yeah, true. You can always fit more of them in your mouth at a time. 1898, French inventor Rudolf Diesel of Berlin, Germany, is granted a patent for the internal combustion engine. And, of course, the thing with silver dollars is you can have different toppings on each one. It doesn't have to be all on one big one.
1945, during World War II, the US B-29 bomber Boxcar, named for its assigned pilot, Frederick C. Bach, drops a 10,000-pound plutonium bomb Fat Man on Nagasaki, Japan, destroying a third of the city, killing 74,000 people. I prefer waffles to pancakes in general.
In 1973, the USSR launches the Mars 7 space probe on a Proton SL-12 D-1E booster rocket. I tell you, a waffle and a good piece of fried chicken, that's something I've discovered recently and love.
1982, release 22 of Infocom's interactive fiction game Deadline becomes available for personal computers. Written by Mark Blank, it was one of the first murder mystery interactive fiction games ever released, and French toast is better than all that nonsense.
1985, Touchstone Pictures releases a sci-fi comedy film, My Science Project, directed by Jonathan R. Boutel and starring John Stockwell, Danielle von Zernick, Dennis Hopper, Richard Mazur, and Barry Corbin. I tell you, I wish the McGriddles were better because it was very much like a piece of French toast in the muffin form.
Indeed. 1992, Midway Amusement Games releases version 1.0 of Mortal Kombat to arcades in the United States. Crepes aren't bad.
1996, Paramount Pictures releases the action film Escape from L.A., directed by John Carpenter, starring Kurt Russell. I love a nice spinach and cheese crepe. That's really good.
2001, the National Science Foundation announces its intention to invest $53 million to construct the distributed terascale facility, the most powerful supercomputer ever developed. It's expected to be capable of making 13.6 trillion calculations per second and will have 600 terabytes of data stored when it's completed in 2002. Did you know at IHOP you can swap out the pancakes for hash browns?
Same day, same year, United States President George W. Bush announces his support for federal funding of limited research on embryonic stem cells. I did not know that. I'll have to try that out. But their omelets are really good with some cheese, chicken, and spinach.
2005, at 12:12 UTC, the Space Shuttle Discovery lands at Edwards Air Force Base in California. They also make a pretty good Bananas Foster French toast.
2006, to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the animated series Spider-Man and his amazing friends, Marvel releases the first issue of a new comic series, Spider-Man Family, Amazing Friends, based on the television series. I'm a huge fan of hash browns, but I like going to Waffle House because you can get all the stuff on top of them.
2010, Blockbuster Video adds video games to its mail rental system, which we all use. Yeah, Waffle House is the only way to go for hash browns. Birthdays?
And this concludes GRD Breakfast Theater. The lovely Anna Kendrick is 33 years old. From Twilight, Pitch Perfect, Into the Woods, she is a funny lady.
Ashley Johnson's 35. That's Gretchen in Recess, Gwen in Ben 10, and Tara in Teen Titans. Notice I said Teen Titans.
I did. She is also fantastic. She was also Chrissy in Growing Pains way back in the day. And you can also see her in Avengers. She is the waitress that Captain America helps. I know entirely too much about this young lady.
Stop.
Kevin McKidd is 45 years old from Trainspotting, Rome, Percy Jackson, Lightning Thief, and the voice of Soap in Call of Duty.
The Soap Talks? Thomas Lennon is 48 years old from Drop Dead Gorgeous, The State, Reno 911, I Love You Man, Dark Knight Rises.
If you get a chance, you got to read his book on screenwriting. It's fantastic. Him and his partner, Ben Garaza, they have written both all of the amazing movies and crap movies that have been in Hollywood recently. Everything from the Baywatch movie to the Night at the Museum franchise. Eric Bana, 50 years old, from Black Hawk Down, Star Trek King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, and was one of the Hulks.
Yeah, the one that didn't count, unfortunately. Gillian Anderson is 50 years old from The X-Files, Last King of Scotland, Hannibal, American Gods, Thoughts and Dreams.
was also the imaginary love interest of Simon Pegg's character in Spaced.
Ah, nice.
Melanie Griffith, 61 years old, from Body Double, Something Wild, Cherry 2000, Mulholland Falls, Milk Money.
That's a good one. Jonathan Kellerman is 69 years of age, wrote the Alex Delaware series, which was once a TV movie starring Ted Danson.
One of Carol the Cat's favorite actors, Sam Elliott, 74 years old, from The Quick and the Dead. That's an underrated movie. The Big Lebowski, Hulk, Ghost Rider, and of course those beef commercials that we all love.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
1927, Robert...
We both went for the impression.
Robert Shaw from The Sting, Jaws, and The Deep. He liked water.
1963, Jay Leggett from Employee of the Month, Without a Paddle, and Factory.
Without a Paddle is also a bit underrated.
You're not wrong. On television on CBS, we've got a rerun of Big Bang Theory, a rerun of Young Sheldon. Why don't they switch the order? New Big Brother and a rerun of SWAT.
ABC showing The Gong Show, Match Game, and Take Two. Not just one.
NBC has America's Got Talent, two new Trial and Errors, yay, and a rerun of Eleanor Svu.
On Fox, it's NFL preseason football, the Washington Redskins at the New England Patriots. Well, you know who I want to lose.
CW has a rerun of Black Lightning.
Freeform will be showing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Don't get excited, it's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, so no.
AMC has Lethal Weapon, followed by Lethal Weapon 2.
FX, Franklin takes steps in order to ensure the loyalty of his crew on a new Snowfall.
FXX Simpsons Marathon, Camp Krusty, Camp Krustier, and Call of the Simpsons.
FXM will be showing The Internship, which is the other one, I think. I think that's the De Niro one, I think.
Eh. IFC has Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore. See Adam Sandler when he was funny.
Exactly. No, he's in The Intern. That's the Vince Vaughn and Wilson one. Yeah. I don't know. Will people just get jobs already so we can... BBC America has an X-Files Marathon with birthday lady Gillian Anderson.
Paramount has Bad Teacher. Man, that was such a good TV series that they spun off of that. I miss it.
Sci-Fi Channel has Goblet of Fire and Order of the Phoenix. Those are Harry Potter films, by the way.
The Bad Teacher TV series had the very handsome Ryan Hansen. Love him.
Oh, there
you go. TCM has The Odd Couple, which also was a good spin-off show.
Yeah. TBS, Snoop Dogg presents The Joker's Wild.
True TV, if that's not enough Jokers for you, they've got a new Impractical Joker.
What? But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. When their home is allegedly broken into, a family decides to upgrade their house with a high-tech security system to give themselves a peace of mind, but they're oblivious that the nanny is using the smart home to her advantage. Taylor Carroll, Adam Huber, Cinta Laura Key star in The Nanny Is Watching, which is not how I wanted that film to go either.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Kayla helps Marlena make preparations for her wedding, including when it ends in 6 months after the big secret tears them apart. Hope gives Ben an ultimatum. Burn cabins or be with me. Which fire you want? John tells Steve to confront Kayla about the secret she's keeping, but she will only tell him through charades. Chad walks out on Abby and... Wait, what? No, but, but that can't, you gotta, no. Hashtag Chabby forever?
No blasted lettuce today!
And thank goodness there isn't, because I'm gonna need a moment. What in the holy hell just happened right there?
Don't they listen? What are we gonna do? We're gonna have to have like a therapy session.
We have a whole bit for this thing. If you know how we can best cope with all this, please drop us a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or of course, you can always call. Please don't be an actual licensed therapist who wants to charge by hour, because we got so much to say. Just dial. It's this number.
510-GRD-CROW.
I feel like I was going to say it there for a moment, like anybody wants to hear me talk.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe they did listen. Maybe that's why they're breaking them up.
Oh.
To Destiny comes a new podcast. Three guardians who will guide you to glory, honor, and...
Yeah, nah. Not that kind of podcast. This is Happy Hour from the Tower. I'm T.
I'm Nick.
I'm Brandon.
And we're going to talk about all things Destiny. Why we play.
Why we love punching aliens in the face.
And why my dad sucks at the Crucible.
Here we go.
A podcast for players of all levels. Find Happy Hour from the Tower on iTunes, Stitcher, or at happyhourfromthetower.com. Eyes up, Guardian. Time to give up the ghost. It's Happy Hour from the Tower. First round's on us.
Hi, this is Marina Baccarin, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
And she's very happy that you are, and I'm happy that she's happy that you're happy, so that way, we're all not sad, is how it goes. Welcome! It's time to talk games.
Greetings, Starfighter.
you have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast-off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Not unless you frag them first. What are we playing today, sir?
Okami, an action-adventure game in which the goddess Amaterasu restores life and beauty to a world that has been taken over by malevolent beings through the power of celestial calligraphy techniques. It's available for the Switch.
Unexplored, a top-down roguelike dungeon crawler with real-time melee combat, puzzles, and a very unique level generation system for the Switch.
Megaton Rainfall, which sounds like Megatron doing an R. Kelly video, a first-person superhero game from Pentadimensional Games, is available for the Switch.
Minute, cursed by time, progression in Minute must be completed in 60-second intervals for the Switch.
Monster Hunter World, the fifth primary title in the Monster Hunter franchise, features much larger maps, seamless transitions between zones in the map, and four-player online co-op. It allows players from Japan and Western countries to play together for the first time in the series, available for the PC.
We Happy Few, a game from Compulsion Games, makers of Contrast. It's a first-person survival game set in a drug-fueled, retro-futuristic city in an alternative 1960s England for the Switch, PS4, and Xbox One.
It is a gorgeous game. We also have Blobcat, a choo-choo rocket-inspired game with a single and multiplayer, available for the Switch.
The Amazing Shinsengumi, Heroes in Love, a romance game targeting members of the Shinsengumi, a well-known Japanese police force seen in many anime and manga. It's for the Switch.
Should I manage a little girl's anxiety from being home alone? That is for the Switch.
Mini Metro, it's a minimalist subway layout puzzle game. The task is to draw routes between the stations to connect them with subway lines, for the Switch.
Phantom Doctrine, set in 1983 during the Cold War. Phantom Doctrine is an alternate history thriller in which the players lead the Cabal, a secret organization dedicated to fighting a global conspiracy committed to controlling the world by pitting world leaders and nations against one another. I wish in pillow fights. It's available for the PC.
Cosmic Star Heroine, outed by her own agency as a legendary spy, Alyssa must dodge adoring fans and dangerous villains to save the universe one more time for the Switch.
Read Only Memories, a cyberpunk adventure game focused on the dark side of technology in the year 2064. Available for the Switch.
State of Mind, a dystopian adventure game from Daedalic Entertainment for the Switch.
World of Warcraft, Battle for Azeroth. The seventh expansion for World of Warcraft features new zones, allied races for both factions, and a raised level cap to 120. That, of course, is available for the PC.
Leroy Jenkins!
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Now, while Warner Brothers is working on bringing Batgirl to the big screen, the CW's prepping the original Lady Bat, Kathy Kane, Batwoman, who debuted around 60 years ago. CW's looking to debut the character during this year's basically JLA crossover, Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl. And now we know who's going to wear the cape. The CW has cast Orange as the New Black, John Wick 2, and the Meg cast member, Ruby Rose. In the comics, Kathy Kane, who later becomes Kate Kane, is an heiress who was inspired by the deeds of the Batman to take on her cow. Back in the 80s, the character of Batwoman was written out during the Crisis on Infinite Earth storyline. Never had existed, never. Then in 2006, she came back. She's been a lesbian character ever since then, and things have been fantastic. Oh, so forgive me if I dream of a crossover where Orange is the New Black and Batwoman happens, and she's got to go rough up an investigation with Stella Carlin and just get all... I'll be in my Batcave.
You know, Orange is the New Black Canary is the name of my Josie and the Pussycats cosplay cover band. Infinity War has really messed some folks up. The 27-year-old comic stunned the world by being adapted correctly. However, one glimmer of hope people are holding on to is, well, there are other upcoming movies, so we know that some characters won't stay piles of dust.
Of course, they'll be fine. The comic had another issue. Come on.
True. So how can we share a treat with the films The Sixth Sense and Titanic so we can say, I see dead people?
Ooh, 20 points for the callback.
Because everything coming out has happened before, or after Infinity War, thanks to Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey. This is how Kobe Smulders and Samuel L. Jackson, who will also be in Captain Marvel, are able to co-star in Spider-Man Far From Home. And I'm sure that they will have the post-credits magic pager when they show up. In case you didn't know, the last time audiences saw Nick Fury and Maria Hill, they were erased from existence by Thanos just after calling Captain Marvel down to Earth using the aforementioned magic pager. Those two characters were, for all purposes, gone. Far From Home will be released after Avengers 4, though, so it's a safe bet this means that they are both resurrected in that film, or Far From Home takes place before Infinity War, apparently when Spider-Man was a zygote. We're fairly certain that this is not the case, based on quotes from Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige last year, which stated that Far From Home was basically the start of Phase 4 for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So is everybody at home on board with this timeline? If not, well, we'll find out how it all works when Spider-Man Far From Home opens July 5th, 2019, or in Spider-Man Homeward Bound in 2022. I just hope they get to get in on that action and bring some fisticuffs to the bad guys. Will they answer the question of why Fury looked like a washed-up actor in 1998? And will Nick Fury be running around yelling, "Where is my super suit?"
Remember Supermax?
Well, Mel will always be the standard, but Tom Hardy did a fantastic job.
Supermax, not Mad Max.
Sorry, I was a VHS guy.
Supermax, not Betamax.
Oh, right. My bad. That episode of Get Smart. Hilarious.
No, you gotta think comics. Supermax was a script that got very close to being made several times. It's about Green Arrow framed for a crime he didn't commit and was basically a prison break movie about a hero trying to escape from a special high security facility full of supervillains. You know, next season of Arrow. In the meantime, Legendary Pictures has a heist movie with the heist taking place inside a superhero's lair. Now, what if someone tried to rob the Batcave or steal the bottle city of Kandor from the Fortress of Solitude? That's basically the premise of the untitled script that Legendary Pictures just closed a deal to make. The rundown is, a group of career criminals who stage a heist of a lair of a superhero then must escape with their lives when everything goes wrong.
It's like Die Hard in a building.
Holy Kaye, Batman! Now, does that mean a superhero is going to catch them? I mean, this is untitled, so no one knows who's going to be there. It might be someone we don't even know unless we get some petitions going. Filmmakers Chris Baugh and Brendan Mullen sold the pitch to the company, and they'll produce, and Baugh will direct. They previously collaborated on a film called Bad Day for the Cut, which played at last year's Sundance Film Festival. So you will forgive me if I dream of a crossover where Batman has to get rough during an investigation with Oliver Queen, and I'll be in my Arrow cave.
Remember us telling you about the BBC getting upset about some Doctor Who footage leaking before Comic-Con?
I didn't do it!
Oh, okay, buddy. Now look, the BBC has gone to a Washington court in a bid to track down the source of a major Doctor Who leak earlier this year and is pursuing tech giant Microsoft for information. Ahead of Jodie Whittaker's full season debut as the first titular female Time Lord, footage from the debut episode was leaked online. According to recently discovered court papers, the footage was stored and subsequently shared on file hosting service OneDrive, which is operated by Microsoft. So I'm assuming that they're looking for somebody who works at a corporation and is in between the ages of 40 and 70. The papers state that the petitioner, referred to as BBC Worldwide Limited, TA, BBC Studios Distribution, requested the court to subpoena Microsoft with regards to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. The request seeks to identify an alleged infringer or infringers of material from episode 1 of Doctor Who season 11, though not limited to, which suggests more leaked footage could be out there.
There isn't. I know nothing. Nothing?
The BBC is demanding that Microsoft hand over all information detailing. The BBC is demanding that Microsoft hand over all pertinent details, everything from the file and especially the user. Last month, the BBC took the matter to California federal court to subpoena mobile community platform Tapatalk in order to identify the individual responsible for the leak. While this is not the first leak Doctor Who has had to deal with, see the very first episode of The Return, Rose, the incident was all the more surprising given the extreme secrecy and info lockdown on the series since new showrunner Chris Chibnall came on board. Also known for its crackdown on leaks and spoilers on the ITV Studios series Broadchurch, he will have you arrested for spilling secrets.
You, me, and cuffs. Must it always end this way?
I'm assuming that's a clip from the leaked episode.
Dating. Now there is a task even a 13th level halfling fighter thief would have problems with.
Look, it's not my fault I rolled a negative 14 for charisma. How does that even happen?
Look, Facebook wants to help you break the ice with potential love partners without actually having to think of anything clever to say.
I got that covered.
The social network is prepared to launch a service called Facebook Dating, which will help Mark Zuckerberg gather even more data about intimate aspects of its users' lives, while allegedly helping them fall in love. A computer programmer called Jane Manchu Wong has closely analyzed the code in Facebook's most recent version of the app, which contains a version of the dating service that can't be accessed by ordinary members. That means Facebook dating is already undergoing internal testing.
Isn't that called Marketplace?
It will be. One feature the dating service will contain is called the Conversation Starter, which is something similar to the scene in Monty Python's Meaning of Life, except you will not discuss philosophy. It will just give you some automated pickup lines you hope the other person has not heard before.
Ooh, sounds like Will Smith is about to pitch a crossover between Hitch and iRobot.
iHitch. Facebook unveiled plans for its dating service in May and said it's designed to create real, long-term relationships rather than hookups.
And everyone lost interest.
Right? Craigslist left a void. Users will be able to create a separate dating profile to their existing Facebook account, with the site then offering recommendations about the sorts of people that thinks users will like. And it will not go through your friends and do that, so you can skip that bit of awkwardness, because that's just creepy. More than 200 million people list themselves as single on Facebook. Adding the figure showed there is an opportunity to create new connections as a result. And, you know, that's fine, but hey, marketing department, you really dropped the frickin' ball here. Facebook dating? That's a weird name. You should have called this Zuck Buddies. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attributions, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 963.0 licensing. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. I felt so happy that I thought of that I went and got myself a damn cookie afterwards. Thank you.
As well you should have.
Oh, my God. Drop us a note, please, and tell us how great that is, or ask about what kind of cookie. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or you could, you don't know. I'm an open-minded kind of guy. I go kind of all sorts of ways with cookies, and send in, you know, ask about it on the phone line.
510-GRD.
Sorry, I guess I'm in a sharing mood.
You are all weirdos.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
It seems I found myself on the voyage of the damned.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
I got responsibilities now.
Sponsorabilities?
That means I'm not allowed to have fun anymore for the rest of my life.
That is out of the picture, and, you know, we're paying for the wedding ourselves.
You know, enough said. An opportunity came up, I thought I would ask. No big deal.
Oh, can you tell me about the investment?
I can't, actually. It's confidential in nature, so.
Okay, let me think about it.
Yeah, of course, but.
Hello, Peter.
Doug! This is my,
Sydney.
Sydney. This is Sydney.
You know, it takes a lot of nerve to spend a beautiful evening with someone and then never call them again.
Doug, I can explain.
I just wish I could take back that kiss.
Oh.
Because I felt something that I haven't felt in years. And now I know it was the taste of betrayal.
It wasn't the taste of betrayal.
It was the taste of betrayal.
No, it really wasn't.
It was the taste of betrayal. You f***ing whore.
Doug.
Good day.
Doug, wait. I can actually explain what just happened.
I would love to hear that.